when the pandemic hit, it wasn't long before fashion industry figures were calling for radical and systemic change in their business. The calendar of fashion was in tatters. Fashion weeks were cancelled. International travel, of course, came to a halt. Well, snap back. Australian Fashion Week just passed in Sydney saw the first post-COVID runway shows anywhere. It was almost as if we'd never been away. And yet, for some time, pandemic notwithstanding, the industry conversation has hovered on a tricky issue. Does the very concept of the Fashion Week need innovating? What's the role of the Fashion Week these days? Ben Maisie is a fashion designer, head of brand at Lucy Folk. He has views on this issue. Ben, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
You have been in the industry for a while, have worked all over the world. This topic of conversation amongst industry insiders on the Fashion Week, how long has that been sort of chewed over?
I would say in the last 5 years, there's been a lot of sort of noise around, is this the best way to do things? And I think a lot of that stemmed from, you had Fashion Weeks in the global centres, but when Fashion Weeks came about, it was also, there was far less travel. So you had New York Fashion Week and only people in New York went to it, and you had London Fashion Week and only people in London went to it. And then you just had this thing where it was kind of this industry standard for everyone to go to the four big ones, which are New York, London, Milan and Paris. And then you had all the secondary ones like Sydney, Tokyo, Sao Paulo, whatever it is also. So then it was just this kind of constant circus on the calendar, essentially, that just wasn't sustainable, I think. And I think people were calling sort of, not even just to slow down, but just to rethink why we were doing things how we were doing them.
Because it must be a tremendous logistic exercise to feed all those beasts around the world.
I think it's a tremendous logistic exercise. And it's also a bit why, because I think after a while, it's like people spend so much time and money on partaking in these fashion weeks, but it's also like, as a brand, like, what's your return on that? Because it's also kind of, if it's just for this sort of performative thing for almost an industry echo chamber, that actually doesn't really help your bottom line or doesn't actually speak to an end consumer. Yeah, I think there's a myriad of reasons why people were like, this needs to be rethought.
So it began with that grand slam of New York, London, Milan, Paris. So do we know the origin story? Who came up with this idea?
I'm not sure, actually, to be honest. I know that there's definite governing bodies in each city really fight space, and like Paris Fashion Week is actually 10 days and I think Milan Week is only 5, and there's sort of this overlap. And also the weeks are like chronologically, they've been pitched, I don't know when it started, probably like in the last 20 years, to be back-to-back. So you have New York, and then the next day London starts, and the next day Milan starts, and the next day Paris starts. And I'm not sure why that was, because the other interesting thing is that actually most brands have a showroom in Paris. So ultimately, if you're a buyer and you just want to go and see product in the flesh and place your orders, you only need to go to Paris. So a lot of
one,
people
one
just,
would do.
Yeah.
How many people, as you say, it's back-to-back. This is a real test of sort of almost film festival endurance. How many people flip between, from one to the other?
So, I mean, it's probably like, I don't want to say tens of thousands, but it would be thousands once you've sort of got like the press and the buyers and the brands that have their showroom. But I think also it's another thing, like it's a concept that there's all those things floating around at the moment of like, that was a meeting that could have been an email. It was also pre-internet as a thing, and it was a very different way that we were sharing information. Like now, even like visual collateral now, you can see everything in real time instantly. So there's not actually a reason to go per se.
I mean, a runway show can be as effectively staged online as in the flesh, I'd imagine.
And there's also this thing of like, a runway show ultimately lasts for like 8 to 10 minutes, and it's just, you see the clothes and as they like run past you, and then that's it. As a model, I think that's very kind of, it's expensive and it's like good for one thing, but like what I think a lot of people don't realize is most of the big brands, like the product they show on the runway, like 80% of that is just for the show, and it's never going to see the light of day in store. And the collection that's in store is something that's developed very differently. So I think that's okay. So the runway show is kind of just like a branding exercise.
Interestingly, though, the Australian Fashion Week just passed. It honoured Carla Zampatti. It gave prominence to First Nations designers and young designers with disability. There was a different take here. It wasn't a strictly commercial thing. It was pushing the idea of fashion into different corners. Is that a way these weeks might evolve?
I think so. And I think also a lot of the things that things have been really successful in what's happening in Sydney last week are the ones that felt they weren't just following the way a show should be. They were doing something that felt relevant for them. Like Maggie Marilyn, this young New Zealand designer, she made a film and then she sort of staged this kind of presentation event. And that was her version of a show, or even like the First Nation show, which was, I thought the strength of that was like watching it, it felt very First Nations. I don't know how to articulate that. It didn't feel like they were trying to fit these First Nations designers into the mold of a traditional fashion show. And I think that was really strong. You've got brands like Commas that they showed, but they sort of showed on the beach, which again felt very Australian and very true to them. And then you have other brands that are more doing a presentation, which kind of is a different format. And I think there's kind of a humbleness to what's been happening. But I think that what's been strong in Sydney is the ones that have kind of questioned what works for them as opposed to having a show for a show's sake. And some of those have been shows and some of those have been more presentations or different kinds of events. And I think that's strong.
It'll be interesting to see how internationally fashion adjusts to this sort of post-pandemic world, and not so much the realities of that world, but the opportunity that pause has given to rethink the time-honoured way of doing things.
It's one of the only creative pursuits where you, because of the way the calendar was worked, you couldn't, take 3 months off, whereas if you're like an architect or a musician, you could be like, I'm only going to do like 2 buildings this year and 8 next year, or I'm not going to release an album for 6 months. But fashion, it's just this like very specific calendar that people wanted to question. But I often think like as humans, we don't know we can do something differently until we're forced to. And I think that's been a real positive of the pandemic, because we've been forced to rethink how we do things as an industry. And that's given people the confidence to try things they were probably like secretly hoping would work. And a lot of that is working.
Well, Ben, it is wonderful to pluck some positives out of a difficult moment. Thank you for those thoughts.
You're very welcome.
Ben Maisey, fashion designer, head of brand at Lucy Folk. And this is Blueprint Radio National.